Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good to have you with us right here on this weird weather Saturday. It's kind of sort of rainy, but it's not raining. It's a lot windier down here in Southeast than it was in Virginia when I took off. I was kind of thinking it was a mild Saturday morning for late January. It was certainly a mild temperature late Friday night when I got home last night, but it was pouring. So we've had all sorts of weird things going on. All sorts of weird things going on. In addition to all of that, we only have an hour and a half together on this Saturday afternoon, and that's just okay, fine and dandy. We'll take you up until Virginia Tech basketball. At that point, you have the Senior Bowl coming up later on this afternoon. For those of you that are trying to do a little advanced scouting for the Washington Redskins or your favorite football team, because many of you do not root for the Washington Redskins, you have mock drafts out. You have all sorts of, again, like we mentioned, Senior Bowl standouts. If you're a quarterback or if your team needs a quarterback, you might want to start thinking Justin Herbert, who's kind of climbed up the ranks here again after entering the year as arguably the number one quarterback and then having a disappointing year. Maybe it was Tua. It certainly wasn't Joe Burrow, even though to me Joe Burrow was always going to be better than what people thought of him. I didn't think it would be that good, but Justin Herbert's had himself a great week down in Mobile. Jordan Love, I think he plays for Utah State, if memory serves me correct. I could be wrong on that. I think it's Utah State. He's had himself a good week. So, got all that. And we can touch on a little bit of that from a Redskins needs perspective, right? Because here's the thing. They don't need one of those two guys that we just talked about, even though you could argue, right? If they trade down out of the number two spot specifically, and if Ron Rivera and Scott Turner truly don't love Dwayne Haskins. And I don't know the answer to that. There's been some mixed messages. Some people believe that they do. Some people believe that they don't. I don't know. I don't know them well enough to declare this is what I think. What I know is there's enough, at least, hints that they may not be completely sold on him and completely dedicated to it. So, if the Redskins trade out of number two and don't land the veteran quarterback that they want in free agency, and it's a mega, 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 mega class, if they don't get that complimentary veteran that can really push Dwayne Haskins and really battle for the starting job and perhaps win it, and maybe definitively win it in the eyes of the coaches, then does that change their draft plan? If you, at number two, there's no quarterback. Tua, no quarterback, period, that I would take at number two. Sorry, no thanks, no way, you're ruining your franchise. And that includes the Redskins, that includes the Dolphins, that includes any other team. I don't care how bad you need a quarterback. I don't care what you value in the position. I don't care what the media thinks. I don't care if you think you know better than everyone else. I'm telling you flat out, there's no quarterback worth the number two overall pick, period. Period. But you know a team is going to be tempted. You know a team is going to try and move up, whether it's number two, whether it's number three. If the Redskins do what they do at number two, which many, of course, pick them and predict them to take Chase Young, duh. I don't think anybody's going out on a limb there, right? A lot of people feel Chase Young is way better than Joe Burrow. Again, matter of preference, matter of how you evaluate players, so on and so forth. But if the Redskins evaluate Dwayne Haskins on tape and from what they're told he was like in the building and from what their scouting report and their scouts in Carolina had on him coming out of Ohio State, and even though Scott Turner said he had a high grade on him, I mean, we don't know what that means. But if they evaluate Dwayne Haskins and they say, he's just not our guy, or we're not convinced that he's our guy, we really have to find somebody to push him. And that somebody doesn't mean like some jabroni, some 9-to-5 ham and egg off the street, you know, that hasn't had a quarterback job in 2 years. That doesn't mean necessarily a 39-year-old veteran quarterback. And this is probably rough, but, you know, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type, who certainly can play and certainly can help any team that he's on. And we know how smart he is, but we also know how much of a debacle he can be. I'm talking about a real legitimate veteran quarterback, which is what I would do, because I wouldn't have here. Like, what I wouldn't do is have Dwayne Haskins less than 1 year into his NFL starting career and have another rookie in the fourth or fifth round as my two starting quarterbacks, and hope, I guess, that at some point Alex Smith can take a couple of snaps. That's not what I would do. I don't know what they're going to do. That's not what I would do. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. What I would do is have a veteran quarterback to really push Dwayne Haskins, if not to beat out Dwayne Haskins. Now, you might be saying, well, why do they have to do that when they just spent the number 15 overall pick last year? Again, Dan Snyder spent the number 15 overall pick. There were plenty of people in the building, now out of the building, but some still in the building that did not believe in Dwayne Haskins as a number 15 overall pick. Okay? So, because the owner doesn't mean the new sheriff does. And if the new sheriff is truly, 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 truly in charge, we will find out how he goes about it in March. If they sign one of the abundance, one of the plethora of veteran quarterbacks that are available via free agency, if they go out and sign Teddy Bridgewater, who's the guy that I said they should target, I don't think they're going to get him. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater wants to come here necessarily, because I think Teddy Bridgewater's definitely looking for a starting spot, whether it's staying in New Orleans if Drew Brees for whatever reason leaves, or likely leaving New Orleans because Drew Brees comes back under a short-term deal and going to New England, a Tennessee, a Miami, wherever, right? Tampa Bay, all that. They should target Teddy Bridgewater. Why? Because he's young enough, he's got enough experience, and oh, by the way, Scott Turner was his quarterback's coach his first 3 years in Minnesota, including the injury year. But the first 2 years they worked together, and they worked together pretty successfully. And he's not going to cost you, I mean, he's going to cost you money, but he's not going to cost you like, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater costs you $18 million a year. Now, I could be wrong on that. He signed, I think, like a one-year, $7 million deal to stay in New Orleans or something like that. I still think he's going to be too rich for the Redskins' blood, considering the albatross that is Alex Smith's salary cap figure. But while it would make sense financially for the Redskins to take one of these quarterbacks in the draft, and I'm not talking about necessarily Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, because they're going to go in the first round, you know, you're talking fourth, fifth, sixth round area to get them in the building, I still think you can do that and sign a veteran quarterback. Again, You should be under absolutely no conviction, I guess is the right word, that Alex Smith is ever going to play a single down for you ever again. You should also realize, again, that Dwayne Haskins is not a shoe-in, not a guarantee to be the starting quarterback. Is he likely to be? Yes. Is he a shoe-in? No. And to me, if you're of that thought, which I believe that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner probably are, then your other choice would be, we need another quarterback that could potentially play. Well, if it's a draftable quarterback, he's a rookie, and you got a large learning curve, and certainly it could be that guy, but the more likely scenario is to go get a veteran quarterback. But if you're going to get a veteran quarterback that you ideally really want to push and or start, or he has to start because Haskins got hurt in two of the last three games he played in and missed the final game. So really, again, injury caused him to be out for parts of or hurt for parts of three of the last four games of his rookie season. If you're going to do that, then you are much, much, much better off going out and getting a veteran quarterback as opposed to a rookie quarterback, one that has to develop. That's just my thoughts. That's my opening thoughts as it comes to the Senior Bowl. As we mentioned, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love have been lighting it up throughout the week. You will see those guys on NFL Network later on today. We will come back. We will talk a little bit more about the Redskins quarterback situation. We have Ryan Zimmerman staying with the Washington Nationals. That's good news. That broke late last night. Plus, we have the NHL All-Star Game. Wayne Gretzky saying something pretty cool about Alex Ovechkin. We've got Antonio Brown. We've got all sorts of NFL people in trouble. And much more to get to with you until 1:30, 800-636-1067. I'm Chris Russell, right here, Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. I was listening to my guys, television, it's Nick Ashew, Hollywood Nick Ashew, and Tommy Lavero this morning, and they were talking about what Lock and Four had reported. And I wrote this story up on my RedskinsReport.com site about Derek Carr when I first saw it. Earl Forsey pointed it out to me, and Earl, I was on the air, and Earl, you know, almost barged into my studio. He couldn't believe it. He was like, Lock and Four is reporting? But then when you read it, it's not reporting. It's informed speculation is how I would call it. Now, a lot of dumb fans are going to take it as, oh, Lock and Four. And listen, I'm no friend of Jason Lock and Four, okay? I don't think he likes me very much, quite honestly. We used to be friendly. I don't think he likes me very much. So, I'm not going to be friends with anybody that doesn't like me. I can tell you that much. But I have to recognize what he does, right? And he's built himself a nice career. Now, a lot of you people don't like him for whatever reason you have. A lot of you guys don't like me for whatever reason you have. It's bad reason, but you have reasons. So he came out with this column saying, hey, Derek Carr, under a rework contract, this, that, and the other thing. Because the Vegas Raiders, he had them going with Jameis Winston, free agent, because everybody now is circling the wagons for Phillip Rivers to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this is with Tom Brady going from the Patriots to the Los Angeles Chargers to open up the new stadium. So again, he talked about how, and there's been all sorts of rumors for 2 years that John Gruden, not a big fan of Derek Carr. There were all sorts of rumors last year that John Gruden was trying to do everything he could to get from number four to get in position to get Kyler Murray. He could have had Daniel Jones. He could have had Dwayne Haskins. He did not choose to go with one of those guys. Instead, they went with Cleveland Farrell. So he was intrigued. He was piqued. He was interested, but he wasn't desperate, obviously. And when you draft desperately, you're in trouble. So ultimately, this column, and I don't see this scenario. I don't see John Gruden being able to handle Jameis Winston. I mean, maybe he helps him become slightly less turnover prone? What's slightly with Jameis Winston? He goes from 30 interceptions to 22. That's still a lot. Still a lot. I don't see John Gruden being able to have the patience to deal with that. As good as Jameis Winston can be when he's on. So that kind of immediately throws some water on that brush fire, right? But just let's play it out. If that were to happen, or a different veteran quarterback were to wind up in Vegas, new city, new brand, new stadium, they got to have maybe somebody more exciting than Derek Carr. Could Derek Carr be available? Yeah, it's more than possible he could be available. I don't think he's going to get cut. It's more than possible that he could be available via trade. So if you're Ron Rivera, and remember, and I think Tommy pointed this out, Jack Del Rio was part of the process with Derek Carr in Oakland, right? If you're Ron Rivera, if you're Scott Turner, if you're Jack Del Rio, if you're the Redskins, and you didn't love Dwayne Haskins, and you think Derek Carr is more ready to lead this team, then, yeah, you go out and trade for him. How much it's going to cost, I don't know. How you deal with the contract, not sure. I don't think it's as easy as people are making it out to be, but I think you could work something. If Oakland is truly moved to move and if Vegas is truly moved to move Carr and Washington is interested in securing a guy long-term who's still young and still has upside and has been very productive, granted, in a tough position. Or you could go the free agent route, the veteran free agent route, and instead of surrendering assets and instead of paying a long-term deal to somebody like Carr, again, you could get a one-year replacement or a one-year veteran, maybe a two-year situation, a Marcus Mariota. Again, Jameis Winston? I can't rule it out, right? I mean, you would think no. You would think he wants more of a commitment than that, but what if the commitment doesn't come to him from Tampa and he's out there? Who's going to give Jameis Winston a five-year deal? Anybody that gives Jameis Winston a five-year deal is a dummy. So I can't rule that out. I can't rule veteran free agents out. I can't rule anything out. Again, the guy that I've continuously centered on is Teddy Bridgewater. So how do you feel about that? Derek Carr via trade? Teddy Bridgewater via free agency? Or fill in the blank? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Let's grab a quick call or two here before the bottom of the hour. Let's say hello to Chris in Alexandria on the fan. Chris, good afternoon. How are you? We had, I don't know what happened with our phones last night. They were like taken over by a ghost jester. I don't know how it was for Ashu and Lavera. I didn't hear a bunch of that, but we had a ton of guys like hanging up as soon as they were put on hold or getting disconnected. So
I think it's your fat fingers because it was fine this morning.
Really?
Really?
Really? You're blaming it on me. Let's see if my fat fingers work for Elliot in Fairfax. Elliot, are you there?
I am.
Elliot, a space Martian didn't commandeer your telephone. Awesome.
No, amazing. Listen, I love you. I love the Junks. I love Asher Lavero. Listen to a lot of your shows.
Appreciate
I tried calling in this morning when they were, you know, the phones were lighting up about this article. So here's the thing. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan from New England originally. Still follow a lot of the columns there. To be perfectly honest, all of this speculation is just that. I don't think anybody really has the tea leaves. And if, in fact, it is a domino effect, and it is contingent on the idea of Tom Brady leaving the Patriots, you talk to just about any major sports writer in New England, with the exception of Dan Shaughnessy, who's always doom and gloom, Brady isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. He has nothing left to prove except to himself. This isn't about money. That was what was suggested. His wife makes twice as much as he does. He doesn't need the money. he is doing this to test the waters, to see what his value is like mm-hmm. in the market. And I really think that, that there are going to be no dominoes. I think ultimately he probably will return to the Patriots. And if he does not, if he ends up somewhere else, I don't think it's the Chargers. I don't think it's the Chargers because it doesn't make sense for him to go to a franchise where he can't do the number one thing that he wants to do, which is to win.
What if I presented the Titans and Mike Vrabel and a team that made it to the AFC Championship on your lap?
I have heard that, and I think that that actually would be a more likely destination because he has worked with Mike Vrabel for years.
Correct.
He has nothing but respect for him. I think that was probably going to be, and that's a team that is on the rise, a team that, you know, somehow managed to do as well as they did with Ryan Tannehill. I don't think many people saw that coming midway through the season. And Mike Vrabel was a huge reason for that. I know Bill Belichick respects him. I know that he would have wanted him on his coaching staff if the timing had been right. But I really think, again, if you read, I don't know how much you read the columns, you know, coming from the New England sportscasters or listen to WEI or 98.5 or whatever it is. You obviously cover the D.C. sports scene.
Yeah, but I'm very familiar with Boston, sure.
Right. But most of them are saying, you know what, he's going to test the waters. He has never been a free agent
right.
in 20 years.
Right.
So this is uncharted territory.
Basically, and playing hardline poker is what you're getting at.
Yeah, I think he is. And I think he has every right to do that.
Here's the thing that I worry about I would tend to agree with you more, but considering that there are plenty of speculation, whether it's right or wrong, that Belichick wanted to move on from him a couple of years ago with the Jimmy G situation, and that Kraft stepped in, considering he's done everything and then some that you can do, I don't think, and especially growing up as a hero with Joe Montana as an idol in the Bay Area, I don't think he looks at going to another organization as the worst thing in the world, as something that stains him. So if Tennessee or if L.A., the Chargers, or if another team who is desperate to sell tickets and create excitement, throws $30 million at him, and the Patriots come and say, yeah, Tommy, we love you, but we can only pay you $20 million this year, whatever it is. I think Tom Brady might be tempted by that.
He may very well. You know, I mean, and it is, I think, you know, part of the reason why I think he stays with the Patriots is two reasons, and I'll get off and let you get to another call. There's two reasons. The first is because he understands that system, and he understands that the Patriots have done a lot to put a winning team around him. It's part of the reason why he's taken the hometown discount year after year after year, so they can go out and put a team on the field to be able to support him. There are not a lot of other franchises out there that have the money or the capacity to be able to do that. And then the second reason is what you already mentioned, Bob Kraft. Mm-hmm. Bob Kraft treats him like another son. He's willing to do just about anything for him. And I think that if Brady leaves, it is only going to be after a significant effort is made by the Patriots and Bob Kraft. You may be right about Belichick. Belichick may have been ready to move on. And honestly, I think everybody won with the Jimmy G situation. Jimmy G got the starting job that he always dreamed of, and now he's leading the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and I'm rooting for him. And Brady led the Patriots to yet another Super Bowl victory. You know, so everybody won with respect to that situation. But I think Robert Kraft is going to make a very, very strong effort to be able to get Brady. He said the other week, he first said it was, you know, he was hopeful that Brady was going to come back, and now he's changed the language to "we plan to,"
right,
which tells me he's going to do everything under his power. But I could see him with the Titans. I just don't think the Chargers are likely. I don't think the Raiders are likely either.
I got you. Thank you, Elliot. Great call. Appreciate
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We will take a quick timeout. We will get to Stephen Richmond. We will get to others. 800-636-1067. Again, still to get into Ryan Zimmerman. We're with you until 1:30 right here, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. This is why you don't listen to kids. Kids and people on Twitter are dumb. Many people on Twitter are dumb, okay? Not everybody on Twitter is dumb. A lot of people are dumb on Twitter. Jester, you can't do it from a rating standpoint again because, look, I understand the appeal. You would have Sunday to recover. Everybody can go back to work on Monday, right?
Right.
So, first of all, we could stay status quo and just stay right where it is. And those of you that have the time in the bank to take off on Monday, you can take off and be hungover or be in a Super Bowl coma. Those of you that have to work on Monday, guess what, Sunshine? Suck it up. Like most of us do, right? Sorry, I don't feel that bad for you. Or you can control how much you drink. You know, be a reasonable human being. Be a reasonable adult. So we can keep it as currently structured, where we have the Super Bowl on a Sunday night. It usually lasts until about 10:30 because of the extra long, ridiculous, insane, stupid, dumb, boring halftime show. Okay? That nobody cares about except for a bunch of teeny boppers.
You're not excited for J-Lo?
Well, I'm excited to see J-Lo and Shakira. Not excited to hear them sing.
Yeah, I could watch it on mute and just be quite content with myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or we could switch it to Saturday night, as Ashu suggested, and everybody has Sunday to recover. Or we could institute a quasi-national holiday on Monday, right? The Super Bowl Monday, that national holiday where all federal offices are... Schools are closed already enough, but we could give you one more day off, okay? We could give the federal government, which is already closed enough, we can give you one more day off. Which one of those three options? Keep it status quo? Move it to Saturday night? Or create a quasi-fake national holiday on Monday where everybody, for the most part, that isn't an essential employee. And let's be honest, you're not an essential employee if you get every holiday off. You're not. Okay? You're just not. 800-636-106, something to chew on that bone. One or the other or the other. Three
options.
You got
an option, though.
It is a buffet of options.
Yeah, there's a fourth one, though.
Oh.
There's moving it back a week or two to meet that Monday being President's
right,
Day.
President's Day weekend, right. Which would build in the... Well, here's the thing. You know what's happening here, right? With the new CBA coming, it's going to be a 17-game schedule, it looks like,
yes.
Right? So now we're already adding a week to the schedule as is. So this would seem to work out. Now, I don't know how you make up that extra week, right? Because we're talking about 2 weeks difference right now between generally President's Day and
right.
Super Bowl Sunday, right? So I don't know how you make up that extra week if we're not giving every NFL team an extra bye week. Now, if we're giving every NFL team an extra bye week and we're adding a 17th game, bam, there you go.
Yep.
It works out calendar-wise.
I can't believe you're so vehemently against a Saturday game.
Well, I am, because it doesn't make sense for the NFL from a ratings standpoint. I'm not one to believe in ratings,
mm-hmm.
You know, truly. From a business standpoint, I'm sure most people would obviously still build their account and the ratings would still be enormous. But are we talking about going from 110 million projected viewers? Because that's all it is. It's not an accurate number.
Right,
it's just
right,
an right. accurate, I mean, it's just a projection. Are we talking about going from 110 million projected viewers to 80, 85? Because people go out on Saturday nights. They go out to the movies. They go out to dinner. They're much more likely to go out on a Saturday night than a Sunday night. That's why Sunday night is a big television ratings night. That's why the Oscars are on Sunday night. That's why tomorrow night the Grammys are on Sunday night. That's why Sunday night football is much bigger than Saturday night college football or Monday night NFL football. Sunday night is the main TV night, and for a league that has seen its attendance dwindle to a 15-year all-time low, Jester, they need to have television ratings as strong as they possibly can. So I don't buy any thought that the NFL would ever move it to a Saturday night.
I see your argument. I truly do. But the Super Bowl is a whole different monster. You can't look at regular TV ratings and compare them to the people that are going to watch the Super Bowl. There's no chance, if you're a sports fan, that you're scheduling a date night with your chick. I don't care what kind of argument you're going to get into. You're not going to miss the Super Bowl. she most likely won't miss the Super Bowl either, because she'll have some kind of inkling to care because you care. Hopefully, God willing, in a good relationship.
If there's
one Saturday a year that you can't say, "Babe, we're not going to the movies because I'm watching football."
I understand that, but you know there are a lot of casual people that are not big football.
But there's also betting involved in it too, so more people watch it just for that, to play them squares.
It's a fair argument. That's what we'll throw it out there. We'll see what people want.
Yeah, we got a break.
Okay, we got a break. Steve in Richmond, I promise, I'm coming at you. Sorry, I just wanted to set that up and invite people to call in on that. 800-636-1067. We'll get back to the veteran quarterback thing, and we can talk about the Super Bowl structure, if you will, on the fan. All right, right back to your calls. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm Chris Russell, a.k.a. the Rooster. Jim Jester on the other side of the glass. So we stumbled into kind of the Super Bowl thing. Should it be on a Saturday night so everybody has, or most people have, Sunday off? Should they keep it the same Sunday night and not do anything and just, like, I don't know, be a responsible adult and don't get blitzed? You know, there are people that can actually control their alcohol consumption so you're not hungover on Monday. There are people that can do that, believe it or not. I'm one of them. Some of you can't, I guess. I can. I'm just speaking for me. Or do we do the keep it on Sunday thing, but as an extra layer, add in Monday as a national holiday? Or what Jester suggested, which he's probably right about, there's been all sorts of talk, including recently, and I think Pro Football Talk reported this, that the 17th game is going to happen. So if you have the 17th game, then you seem to be, at least on the surface, 1 week short of extending the NFL season and therefore the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. What if you're one game, what if you're adding a 17th game, but to kiss the ass of the Players Association, you're giving a second bye week and a higher revenue share and all that stuff that they want, but you're giving the players more time to recover, right? And you're finishing the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, which means you don't have to then give an extra holiday off or have legislation or whatever, which would be like ridiculous to go through that because most people would have President's Day Monday off. So your thoughts on that? 800-636-1067. Plus, back to the veteran quarterback situation. I say Teddy Bridgewater is my guy. Steven Richmond, who do you say?
For me, it would be Bridgewater, but I wouldn't want him here in Washington because the organization is not ready for him right now because he comes from an organization that's just it was built right. And if I'm Teddy, I don't want to go to Redskins. I don't want to go to the Miami Dolphins. I don't want to go to the Cincinnati Bengals. If Tennessee's available and he can get there with Mike Vrabel and what they've already built there, yeah, I would do that. I wouldn't come here because even though we're under a new head coach and probably a new regime or whatever, we don't know yet. He's coming out of an organization that he knew, and we don't have the weapons here. See, he'll come here, and our expectation level will be so high because of what he did, the 6 or 7 game winning streak that he was on in New Orleans. Our expectations would be here that he can come here and do that. No, he doesn't have an Alvin Kamara here. He doesn't have the leading receiver in the NFL there, the tight end, the offensive line, and he don't have Sean Payton. And so what I wouldn't want him here. I would love him here. But I hope he wouldn't come here. Let's just build with Haskins based on what we have and let him build on the new since he's new himself.
Right.
Instead of bringing Teddy and trying to throw a ton of money at Teddy Bridgewater. Because if I'm him, I don't want neither three of them organizations. All three of them may wind up looking at him. But if I'm him and I can get to Tennessee and they can't come up with an agreement with Tannehill and he can get there, I think Vrabel will take him.
I mean, I think that would be a great spot for him because you know you got a strong running game. You know you got a physical line. You know you have a progressive but old school coach in Vrabel. Obviously, off to the AFC Championship, Mariota and Tannehill, both unrestricted free agents. Yeah, I think that would, and you know, Nashville, no offense, is a greater city to, you know, hang out and do stuff in than even Washington, D.C., and it's a much more stable organization, no doubt about it. The other thing that strikes me as why Teddy Bridgewater wouldn't come here is just from a money standpoint, because they're stuck with the albatross of Alex Smith's contract, $21 million in cap value. They just don't have the money, right. I don't think. That's why the Derek Carr thing doesn't make sense to me, even if you restructure and say $7 or $8 million. Right. Well, what the hell are you paying for your quarterback position? You're going to pay $35 million in salary cap for three guys that you're not sure if any of them can play and win?
I can see Mariota coming somewhere as a backup. I definitely don't think he'll get another starting job.
I can see Mariota as a backup, and that I floated that, or as a guy to compete. As opposed to Bridgewater, I don't think he's going anywhere unless he actually starts. Steve, I appreciate the phone call. Good call. Let's get to Mary and Sterling on the fan. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Good. I've got both of your issues that I would like to address.
Sure.
The first is the Super Bowl. Why don't they just move it earlier in the day? And I'm showing my age here, but the last Super Bowl I really remember watching are the 85 Bears. I'm a native Chicagoan.
Okay.
That wasn't at 8 o'clock at night.
They started at 6:30. And the number one reason for that, Mary, and it's a good question, the number one reason for that is the number one reason why they won't move it off of Sunday night to Saturday night, which is television ratings. Quite simply, they know that the Sunday night television time slot, say 7 p.m., to midnight is the most popular night based on a long list and a long history of television ratings. So they try and move everything they possibly can, including their championship games, which they used to start much earlier, to your point. Last week, they've now moved them to 3:05 and 6:35 starts. Why? Because it's better ratings. There's more people available at 6:35 or 6:30 as opposed to 3 or 3:30.
Well, I mean, I know the NFL is all about money. I mean, the owners will do whatever they need to do to get the money.
Yeah, they don't care about us, Mary.
No, honestly, they don't. People used to watch the Super Bowl for the commercials.
Yes. Well, they still do. They still do.
Teams.
Yeah, but the NFL owners and the NFL does not care one ounce about their not one ounce. I mean, and anybody that believes that they do is completely out of their mind. Roger Goodell has absolutely no sense of what it's like to be a fan. Neither does Dan Snyder. Neither does any of these, you know, filthy, rich, disgusting white capitalists that make just a ton of money. They have absolutely no touch with common sense and reality. It's just the way it is. Real quickly, on the Redskins quarterback situation, you said you had a thing on that?
Yeah, this is totally way out to lunch, but if Tom Brady would consider coming to Washington as, and it would have to be whatever kind of a title, a quarterback coach or something to Haskins, and the salary was not, you know, publicized, if he needs to make more money than his wife. Frankly, I don't know why the hell they need any more money.
Yeah, they don't.
It might, you know, save his face if no one wants him as a quarterback, because I don't think he's going to leave the Patriots.
Well, I here's the thing. I think people do want him as a quarterback. Tennessee, the Chargers, and other teams, maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Other teams certainly could. They do want him, even at 42, even after coming off of a bad year. I don't think it's as much about making more money than his wife. I think it's feeling appreciated by Bill Belichick and the Patriots that he's not just another movable pawn piece in their game of chess that they've played forever. Mary, I appreciate the phone call. 800-636-1067. We'll get to Willie. We'll get to Kevin. After the top of the hour, we still have to get to Ryan Zimmerman. Good to have you with us on a short Saturday afternoon on The Fan. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Russell. We're with you until 1:30. Let's talk to Willie in Chesapeake Beach on the Fan. Willie, thanks for hanging in through the top of the hour. How are you?
All right. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. Will, what's going on?
The only thing I have about pushing the Super Bowl back to President's Day is that the Daytona 500's that weekend, too.
That's a great point. That's a great point. That's a really good point. I didn't think about that. The Super Bowl of stock car racing, you're right. That is in conjunction with that. Now, I'm sure the NFL would probably laugh and would, you know, would. Here's what you could do, though, Willie, if you really wanted to. Now, again, I don't know if the NFL would do this because they seem to want like an 8-hour pregame show. Is you could have the Daytona 500 run at noon or even 11 a.m., right? Like they do the Indianapolis 500, 11 a.m., and you know, have the race, presuming that weather is not a problem, which it always seems to be down in Daytona, even in mid-February, you know, end around 3:30, and then people have a little respite for to get to their parties or to do whatever they do, and then have the game still start at 6:30. So I guess you could do it that way and make it a Super Bowl of stock car racing and a Super Bowl Sunday all in one day.
That'd be a busy Sunday, but a good one.
That would be one hell of a that would be one hell of a weird day. You know, I can tell you that.
I know the bars would love it.
Yeah, exactly. it's not a bad point, and I think you can make it work, right? Even under the scenario that you presented and kind of the counter that I haven't thought it through yet, but I think you could make it work and still have it be like just, you know, because not everybody's into NASCAR, but I guess what I would say is for NASCAR, it would suck because A, they would have to move earlier, and B, the whatever shine they have from it being the Super Bowl of stock car racing and Daytona 500 and the start of their season would be completely swallowed up because most of the media doesn't care about stock car racing and the Daytona 500. Listen, we can't solve everything, but it's certainly a good point that I didn't think about when you factor in if we're talking about adding a 17th game and adding potentially a second bye and putting Super Bowl Sunday on Sunday of President's Day weekend, it is certainly a more than valid question, point, whatever, that you bring up. I appreciate it. Thank you, Willie. Good to hear from you. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 is the toll-free number. Let's get to Benny in Fairfax on the Fan.
Hey.
Hi, Benny. How are you?
Doing well, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it, Benny.
I appreciate it. So I married a diehard Redskin fan, and my heart, besides her, belongs to the San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers. So I could tell you the caller called in about Tom Brady and not going to the Chargers. That's all outside of listening to 106 The Fan, that's all I do is keep track of the Chargers. And I'll tell you, Anthony Lynn has no desire to bring in Tom Brady, and regardless of trying to fill out the stadium, they're not going to fill out that stadium no matter who they bring in. So that's a dead issue. Tom Telesco isn't going to pay that much money for Tom Brady, especially when they went and got Tyrod Taylor just a season ago. The writing was on the walls for Phillip Rivers when that move was made. And now with the rise of Justin Herbert and the number 6 overall pick, there's just too much going on. He's requiring too much money. Also, keep in mind, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, Derwin James. There are a lot of younger players that they have on that roster that they're going to have to pay. They're not going to get themselves into a financial situation.
No, that's a great point. And you know what? I completely forgot about the whole Tyrod Taylor thing. And he's under contract for a pretty large cap number for a quarterback, but $7.5 million. If you're going to talk about having to recruit Tom Brady, I've gone more with the Tennessee thing, but everybody else seems to be pointing towards the Chargers. And you're right, just Tom Brady alone isn't going to sell out a 70,000 seat stadium. But here's what I know is going to help them. Tom Brady would help them more than Tyrod Taylor and even Justin Herbert, right? I mean, we can't mistake that Tom Brady wouldn't help them sell more tickets than those two gentlemen.
maybe sell tickets, but you also need a lot of help on that offensive line. You got Russell Okung, who had, you know, a serious health condition, and then literally nobody else on that line. Mm-hmm. Pouncey got hurt. He was out for that. And they want a mobile quarterback, unless you're talking about a quarterback sneak, you know, for 1 yard. Tom Brady is not that, and he's not going to get into a situation where he could potentially get hurt. And regardless of the weapons, the plethora of weapons that the Chargers may have on the offensive end of the ball, I just don't think at this stage of his career, I agree with you. I think he would like Tennessee being able to hand the ball off, have, you know, a handful of decent and really good young talent there, rather than risk a porous offensive line out there with LA.
It's a great call. Great point. I didn't think about it from the Tyrod Taylor perspective. Again, seems like you and I are more more joined at the hip. I think one thing real quickly I'll ask you before I go to a break, being that like you follow the Chargers so closely. I like Anthony Lynn. I think he had everything going in the right direction. I think it was more Philip Rivers had a bad year. Melvin Gordon, the holdout. You mentioned the Okung situation. Also, they lost Derwin James, like you said. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a bunch of bad circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think Anthony Lynn's a pretty good head coach from what I can tell. Are you in on him? Is your wife in on him? Or are you kind of like major questions at this point?
No, first of all, fantastic man. Just as if we're just looking at, let's even take football out of it just for a second. Fantastic man. I think a lot of people didn't even know who he was coming in from Buffalo. And then he had that Super Bowl commercial where he talked about how he almost died and got a chance to meet the first responders. And that was a mm-hmm. tearjerker. This guy knows football. He understands the value of the running game, which is what made the Melvin Gordon thing even more serious. You're talking about a guy who was supporting you this entire time. You still held out and then laid an egg when you decided to come back, got started late in the year. You look at Austin Eckler and what he's been able to do with a lot of this young talent. The guy knows football. He's a great man. I really hope they keep him for a long time.
Great call. Thank you, Benny. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, man.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Benny in Fairfax. All right. We will take a timeout. We will come back and we will wrap up the show with thoughts on Ryan Zimmerman and the Nationals roster as they have retooled it, as they have lost Anthony Rendon and some others. And they've added others. Let's do that next, right here. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. For all of you that yell at me and send nasty tweets to me and all that stuff, and you just crush me, and you tell me how annoying and agitating I am, just so you know, we're brothers in spirit. I get annoyed by me, too. I've had enough of me. And yet, I have to live with me. And I have to be back on the radio at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So you're stuck with me for 3 more hours. I highly encourage you to listen, even if I agitate and annoy you. Because that's the whole goal, is to be polarizing, right? Nobody wants a saltine cracker on the radio, right? Nobody wants what Steven Strasburg used to be on the radio. Used to be. He got loosened up big time this year. And then he came back. And that's where we wrap up the show. So Ryan Zimmerman is also coming back. He agreed to a 1-year deal, first reported by Barry Sverluga last night, right as we were signing off the air. As a matter of fact, we were just off the air. It's a 1-year, $2 million deal, according to Sverluga and the Post, pending a physical. It is laden with performance bonuses, and, of course, it basically wraps up the last remaining question issue now that Donaldson has gone to Minnesota, now that Zimmerman is officially back, as we all thought he would be. I guess there's still a possibility that they could be in the hunt for Nolan Arenado and or Chris Bryant, but it probably is not going to happen, nor probably should it happen. I guess the contract could be a max of about $5 million based on performance bonuses, as Verluga explains. Again, we all thought this was where it was going to be. You know, I'm kind of surprised it was only $2 million base. You know, I thought there would be a little bit higher base, but, you know, Zimmerman's 35 years old. Where was he going? He didn't want to go anywhere. He's Eli Manning. Quite honestly, he's Eli Manning with a lot more injuries and one less championship. But he's Eli Manning. He didn't want to leave Washington. So he'll play one more year and he'll probably retire. Unless this year goes so well, we'll see. But it's really interesting because the Nationals have brought back now Zimmerman, and Zim was huge down in the postseason for them, obviously. I mean, who would have thought Zimmerman still, with all the injuries he's been through, would be as productive as he was ultimately and would be as healthy as he was during the key stretch of the national season, not only in October, but also down the stretch in September to get ready for October. Don't forget about that. So now the Nationals have brought back Zimmerman, Steven Strasburg, obviously, on a 7-year, $245 million deal. They also brought back Howie Kendrick as Drubal Cabrera. They brought back Yan Gomes. They brought back Daniel Hudson. At a cost of, and of course, they signed Will Harris. They signed Starlin Castro. I don't think I'm forgetting about anybody new, but maybe I am. Eric Thames. Thames. Yeah, so I was. Castro, Thames, Will Harris, three new additions there. Plus brought back Strasburg, Zimmerman, Kendrick, Cabrera, Gomes, Hudson. That's what, nine additions, six of which were here for the World Series run, and three new additions. They lost Anthony Rendon. They're saying goodbye to Brian Dozier. Matt Adams, of course. There are other guys that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Yeah, Fernando Rodney is not going to come back at 43 years old. Right? I mean, Fernando Rodney was fine at times. You don't need Fernando Rodney. Get out of here. Not with Suero. Not with Tanner Rainey. Not with Doolittle. Not with Hudson back. And not with Will Harris. Absolutely no need for Fernando Rodney. Get out of here. So they are going to lose Fernando Rodney, Brian Dozier, Gerardo Parra, Anthony Rendon, and I'm not sure, Jeremy Hellickson, for whatever that matters. I don't have the full list in front of me, but you get my point. Anthony Rendon is the only one that really, 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 from a baseball sense, moves the needle. Gerardo Parra, and I hate to say this, he wasn't very good down the stretch. He wasn't. They're not going to miss him from a baseball sense. They're going to miss him in the clubhouse. They're going to miss him in the dugout. But I don't know if you could recreate all that anyway. And now that that clubhouse is a lot looser and a lot more confident, and a lot, quite honestly, more fun, I don't know if you needed Gerardo Parra. As a matter of fact, I don't think you did. He can throw out the first pitch, which is what he wants to, whatever. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. I would make the argument that this Nationals team, and this is a hard one, I think it's just as good, if not better. Slightly better. Rendon out and a bunch of other parts that, quite honestly, weren't going to help you anyway. Will Harris, new addition in. Starlin Castro, new addition in. Eric Thames, new addition in. Plus retaining those other six guys. Strasburg, Zimmerman, Kendrick, Cabrera, the flexibility, Hudson. To me, maybe I'm missing something here. I think this team is as good, if not slightly better, even missing Rendon. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. I'm back with you 9 to noon. I think PJ Elliott will be in, so we'll kick some things around. We'll be 1 week from the Super Bowl. Look at some of the gambling props and all that good stuff. NHL All-Star Game tonight. Todd Reirden getting ready to coach the Metropolitan Division All-Stars. TJ Oshie back in St. Louis. John Carlson, Braden Holtby will be a part of the action. You've got all sorts of college basketball. I think the Wiz back in action tonight, if memory serves. So we will have all that for you, plus the Senior Bowl. All right, I'm going to sign off before I blow my time out. I think Jester said 125 even. So I'm going to say goodbye. Virginia Tech basketball coming up next right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.